think we can just wrap it up, don't you agree? Let's just say amen and call it good. Absolutely. Well, hey, great to be with you today. If we haven't had the opportunity to meet, my name's Mike, so it's my pleasure to be here today. Just want to say hello to everybody online. Thanks for connecting with us today as well. Hey, Adam and his family on vacation this week, so you be praying for them as they are enjoying some time away, doing some fun things, a little relaxation. I just told him, hey, Adam, my motto for vacation, do something fun, eat something bad for you, And sometimes I spend more time on number two, as best I can, because that's really important. Hey, yesterday, July the 1st, was the one-year anniversary for Adam and his family being a part of our family here at First Baptist, right? It's good. And so with that, he's been our pastor for a year. And I think, man, it's gone really, really well. And so glad to see all the things that God is doing in and through him and in and through our church. And man, just excited for what God is up to. We've been in a series in Proverbs, and today we're going to press on. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 8 today. So if you want to go ahead and find that, that'd be great. But that's where we're going to be at just here in a minute or two. So, hey, a few weeks ago, I went to Silver Dollar City. Now, I hadn't been to Silver Dollar City probably for like 5 years. It's been quite a while. And I went with my wife. We went with her mom and dad. Had a great time. But I'm beginning to learn that, hey, you know what? I'm not 20 anymore. Those things are kind of catching up. And something that is happening, and it's kind of disturbing me just a little bit, is that I am enjoying the shows more and going to the craft shops more. What is happening? So that was not how it was for me several years ago, but it is more and more, it seems like that's what's happening. So anyway, so we went, we had a nice time. We did go to some shows. We walked through some craft shops. We got something to eat. And then later on that afternoon, my son Cole, who is 20, and his fiancée, Megan, and hey, they're going to get married in about 2 weeks. So, hey, you be praying for them. Pretty excited. But they joined up with us, and he says, hey, let's go ride some rides. And, you want to be cool, so you go, hey, sounds good. So we're going to go ride some rides. And I said, what would you like to ride? And he's like, let's go ride the wildfire. Okay. Listen, I don't go to Silver Dollar City that much, so I really don't know what the wildfire is. I'm like, hey, let's go do that. So we're walking over there. We get into the line. And somewhere I say, hey, so what's involved? What's involved with this? Oh, he goes, a couple big hill drops. There's like a corkscrew. And then you go upside down a couple of times. All right. So we get on the wildfire. We're riding the wildfire. We're going on the wildfire. We finish the wildfire. And we're done, right? And I'm looking around on the outside of my body. I haven't lost any arms or legs. Okay. But on the inside of my body, man, it's just like all over the place going on in here. And I try to get out of the car. I'm kind of wobbling around just a little bit. And it's again dawning on me. Hey, you know what? Roller coasters, carnival rides, are those really the wise thing to do? I am still trying to determine that. But here's something that is going to work for you. So, past experience, no need to order and eat an order of fried pickles before you get on a carnival ride or a roller coaster. So, hey, I'm just here to help. So, that one's just trying to be useful. So, hey, a very loose transition as we go into Proverbs 3. Is you have a dad who loves his son very much, and he wants very much to help his son navigate life, to make wise decisions, to choose well. So his dad is really, pleading, encouraging, trying to make a logical case of, hey, listen to what I'm going to say. And bigger than that, God is communicating to us through the Proverbs because God loves us like this dad. He loves us, and he wants us to navigate life well, following his wise principles in his word. You know, so many times, don't you just stop and you're just so thankful for the Bible and God has allowed us to have this good gift that helps us to get to know him and what he wants for us and how he desires to lead us? Well, he wants us to follow his good principles because wisdom is important in life. So many times in life, we're asking ourselves, hey, what should I do? You know, where should I go? Should I get on the wildfire? See, these are important questions that we face in life. You know, over the last several weeks, Adam has been taking us through Proverbs, and we've learned several things. We know that there are, you know, two paths. There is God's way, and there is the world's way. And see, that makes sense to us because we know that a path has a destination. We know that choices and decisions have outcomes. They have consequences. But we've also been learning about God's wisdom, that God's wisdom is valuable, and God's wisdom is available. We know about Proverbs, that Proverbs are descriptions of how life generally turns out for those folks who believe and follow God's good design for how life works. They don't really offer us guarantees against hardship. And again, that can make sense to us, right? Because, well, many of us, if not all of us, have went through some difficult times. And we're following the Lord. We're following him closely. But we still have hardship. We still have difficulties. Maybe we've experienced tragedy. Maybe we've had some financial setbacks. But the Proverbs, what they do is they lead us to not go down the path that will bring those things on ourselves. Don't go this way, but do go this way. There's just many things in life that are going to be challenging and difficult, but it is protecting us. How do we make good decisions to walk down a good path that will have a good outcome? They lead us not to trade truth for a lie, to not trade hope for hopelessness, and ultimately not to trade life for death. Today, I want us to try to remember as best we can that a wholehearted devotion to the Lord and his wise principles will lead us to a life of blessing. And the challenge we have many times is that first word, that wholehearted part. But a wholehearted devotion to the Lord and his principles will lead us to a life of blessing. And you know the good thing about all this? God designed life. God created us. He created us in his image. He knows how life works best. Turning our lives to the Lord, knowing him more deeply, following in love with him, trusting and obeying his word leads us to a life of godly confidence and blessing. That's become more important to me than ever, the godly confidence part. Don't you ever feel like, I'm watching the news, seems like the sand is shifting under my feet. Perspectives change from day to day. What people say is right and wrong shifts from week to week. Listen, we have a foundation in the Lord, and we can walk in godly confidence when we're following his wise design and his principles for how life works. So we may ask ourselves, how do we experience then this life that you're talking about, the blessings that God has for us? Well, that's where we pick up Proverbs 3. So today we're going to look at Proverbs 3. We're going to start off with 1 through 4. So if you want to follow along, that'd be great. It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days, years of life, and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you, but bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man." So our first point today is that we should take God's wisdom to heart. Take it to heart. Take it to heart. And these words that we're reading, you know, in Proverbs 3, some of these word choices or phrases were like, hey, I don't know, that seems kind of familiar. I feel like I've heard that before. Well, if we go to Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. You don't necessarily need to turn there, but you can. You make a note of it. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you should talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." You know, the father in this proverb is wanting his son to not forget. Similar do we have in Deuteronomy and Proverbs. There's words that, you know, hear and teach and write and bind and on your heart, do not forget, that this father is trying to encourage his son, this young person, and then we find through Scripture trying to encourage us to internalize God's wisdom, make it be the center point of our life. You know, to store God's commands in our heart, many times we think about memorizing those, and we should. That's a great thing to do. Many of you have memorized all kinds of verses throughout your life. And if you haven't, never the wrong time to start. Memorizing Scripture is always a great thing. But Scripture needs to not just be here, but it needs to be here. It's an essential aspect of our life, and we need to begin to act on those words. They need to impact our motives. They need to impact our attitudes. They really integrate into every part of our life. You know, the idea of heart, mentioned here in Proverbs 3, is really the center of someone's whole being. The knowing, the feeling, it encompasses the totality of our lives. It's the center point of our life. You know, over the last 4 or 5 years, all of my kids have purchased their own vehicle. And so with that being said, then they've entered into the world of car maintenance. Don't you love that world, car maintenance? That's a great place. And I don't do this just as much anymore, but when they first got their vehicles and stuff, I was like, hey, guys, just make sure you're checking on and you're changing your oil. That's going to be important. So, you know, regularly checking on and changing your oil, it's not a guarantee, but it does position your car for long life. That's a good thing to do. Now, if you decide to not check your oil, to not change your oil at all, you're probably leading yourself toward engine failure, okay? And you're asking yourself, Mike, how do you know about that? Well, I have not let the engine run dry in my truck, but I have my lawnmower, and it didn't go very well. Feel free to ask my wife about that. Wasn't fantastic. Hey, remembering, embracing, living out God's wisdom, it's important if we're going to experience all the benefits that come with wisdom and what God hopes for our life. Well, what would be one of those benefits? Well, we see in verse 2. It says, length of days, years of life, and peace. So many times that can be many days. It can be many days, but it can also help us understand that God wants us to have an enjoyable life. He wants us to have a worthwhile life. Following God's principles is going to affect every aspect of our life, spiritually and relationally and physically and emotionally. God wants us to have well-being. And if we choose not to follow God's principles for life and his direction of how life can go, you can imagine the opposite. It'll impact our relationship with him. It'll impact our relationship within our family, within our friends, to not follow what God has laid out for us. Taking God's wisdom to heart, being in close relationship, following all the ways he says life works, is really about, again, our well-being and to have a healthy life in all the different aspects that would apply to. God really does want the best for us. He does. And in taking his wisdom to heart, he also wants us to prioritize steadfast love and faithfulness. Now, these are things that really kind of impact relationships. Steadfast love is a loyal, merciful kindness. It's being committed to the well-being of the other person in that relationship. You see, faithfulness, but you are also constant and firm and committed to the truth. So we're walking in truth with one another. We're looking out for one another. There's a loyal and kind well-being that is on our mind with the other folks. These things can be demonstrated through the things that we say, the things that we do, the attitudes that we have, maybe our motives. It really impacts the character of our heart. These things kind of put on display what's really going on the inside. And it says, as a result, the benefit then of writing steadfast love and faithfulness on our hearts is that we're going to be find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. And we see that in verse 4. God wants us to be in good relationship with those around us, in our families, and definitely Him. God's leading us in a way of wisdom. But not only do we need to take God's principles to heart, number 2, we need to trust God and His wisdom to lead the way. And we're going to look at verses 5 and 6 in Proverbs 3. Verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." You know, longtime pastor, this is probably a familiar name to you, Adrian Rogers. He passed away several years ago, but this guy was just the king of coming up with these little clever phrases, these little cliche phrases when he preached. He was great at it. He would say, based on these verses, he would say, "Let God choose the way. Let God confirm the way. Let God control the way. And let God clear the way." I could almost hear Adrian saying those words. See, our confidence for navigating life is in the Lord, in His wise principles. He wants us to lean into Him, lean into His love, and trust His guidance. We prayerfully seek out the truth. Hey, it's important for us to be in communication with the Lord. We want to know what's on His heart. We search out His scriptures for what He has to say about life. We want to know what's on His mind. Communication, this is how we do it. We pray, we read. This is how we're in relationship with the Lord. It's important for us to seek Him out. And the call to trust here is really a total commitment. It's called with all of your heart, all of your heart. You know, I heard a guy say one time that trust, one way you can define it, is putting your whole weight, all of you, in the hands of someone or something. You know, today I'm putting my whole weight on this stool. I'm putting all of me on this stool. And you can imagine that's asking a lot of this stool. But you know what? Hey, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm confident. I trust that this stool is going to take care of me. I trust that this stool is going to hold me up. I have an ease of mind and a calmness of heart because I have confidence that this is going to hold me. Hey, man, that's how it is with God. Okay? We trust Him. We put our whole weight in His hands. We can trust that He's going to be taking care of us. I can live with confidence. I can live with ease of mind and ease of heart because what He says He'll do. God's calling us to have a wholehearted trust in Him, a devotion to Him and His principles. See, you know, we're some talented people in this room, smart people in this room. You got a lot of gifts, a lot of abilities in this room. And we can rely on all those things to get us from A to B. And God's not asking us to check our brain at the door. He's created us with the ability to reason and critically think, all those things. But those in of itself are going to get us to where God wants us to go. The call to trust God, just that whole idea of trust implies that He is trustworthy. He is trustworthy. Time and again, person after person, circumstance after circumstance, scenario after scenario, for years and years and years and years, God has risen to the occasion. and he is trustworthy. The Bible lays all this out for you. We can trust him. He wants us to give him the reins because he knows what is good for us, and he knows it better than we do. We can think we know what's good for us, but God really knows what's good for us. And we want to trust and acknowledge him. He tells us to acknowledge him in all of our ways, in all of our ways, in everything we do, every aspect of our life. And this isn't giving God just a, you know, a tip of the hat or a wink or saying his name occasionally. No. He wants us to lean in, to know him, to deeply love him, and to trust and follow his plan. He wants to be the center of every aspect of our life. A quote I heard from a guy this past week, he says this. He says, look at your values and your priorities. What's important to you? In what areas have you not acknowledged God? What are his principles and desires for that area? In many ways of your life, you may have already acknowledged God, but it is in the areas where you restrict or ignore his influence that will cause you grief. Can you not look back over your life and go, you know what, that sounds about right. The areas we have not handed over to God is probably the areas that we struggle the most in our life. And I'll be honest with you, if you know me at all, you know I am wrong a lot. This is the amen part. Okay? My wife and kids, they would give you testimony that I cannot help you get from A to B. I can't. I am terrible with directions. Navigation is not my skill. And when I'm going to Springfield, I still use GPS. I'm sorry. Okay? You think after a while I'd figure it out, but hey, I'm just not very good at that kind of thing, right? And there's times that we're out and about, and we're going to a particular place, and man, I am confident, I am certain, I'm on the right road, going the right direction. In my mind, this is correct. And it's not, okay? It is easy to deceive ourselves. It is easy to let ourselves be led astray, and it is easy to let other people deceive us as well. You know, the culture, they said this was the right thing to do. The guy on the news said this was the right thing to do. The guy at the diner and the convenience mart, they said this was the right thing to do. Where can we really find trustworthy guidance? You know, I think God's kind of teeing up a contrast for us when he talks about our own understanding. Sometimes we get to these choices in life, and we are, man, again, we're confident that, hey, you know, given, you know, my scenario and my circumstances and the place I am in life and all this kind of stuff, my desires of my heart, I don't know. This is really what I want to do. This is really what I want to do, my own understanding. And then that maybe then doesn't match what God would say about that area of your life. And see, that's where we are a lot of times. We're at a crossroad of God's way and the world's way. And this most likely kind of shakes out in things like our relationships and money and jobs and time and all those kind of things. What we can have is we can have a confident assurance that God knows how things ought to go. He does. And he wants us to get to the point where we're willing to stake the whole farm on it. Ready to do it. Why? Because he loves us. He is a good heavenly father. And as a result of trusting him to lead the way, he says, as a benefit, that he's going to make our paths straight. Man, let's not be confused, okay? This is not a smooth path. It's not always an easy path. It's not free from obstacles or hardship. But rather, he's going to lead us in a life that is righteous, morally straight, a life that's worthwhile. See, that compared to our overall culture, which many times wants to lead us down a path that is crooked and perverse. See, when we're trusting God wholeheartedly and following his principles, again, we can have confidence that he'll be with us. He's going to provide us strength in not only the ups, but the downs of life. We can trust him. He is trustworthy. You know, Proverbs 3, 1 to 8, we've seen that we need to take God's wisdom to heart. It needs to be the center point of our life. We need to trust God because he's trustworthy and his wisdom to lead the way. And then finally, we need to turn and humbly embrace God's wisdom. Let's pick it up in verse 7 of Proverbs chapter 3. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. And it will be healing to your flesh. It will be refreshment to your bones. You know, wise in our own eyes. God's warning us about self-assurance. Because again, talented people, a lot of abilities, a lot of opportunities, a lot of things you're up to. Self-assurance is the opposite of trust in the Lord. We may not say these words out loud, but sometimes internally we act this way, right? You know, God, I'm good. I don't really need your help right now in this area. I don't really need your input. I don't need your instruction. I don't need your guidance. Guess what? I really don't want to follow your way on that. Believing that we in of ourselves can determine what is right and wrong. I think what a heavy load that is to be the determiner of right and wrong. Making those decisions apart from God, apart from wisdom. And see, that makes me sad too, as a matter of fact. See? Absolutely. See, what we need to do is we need to humbly embrace God's wisdom. We're told to fear the Lord and turn from evil in verse 7. Another guy that I was reading said, he packaged it up this way. He goes, here are the priorities God wants at the top of our list in terms of urgency. That we fear the Lord and we turn from evil. You know, last week, I'm kind of putting together a lot of phrases Adam had to say about fear the Lord. He said, you know, we're to love the Lord. We're to pursue the Lord. We're to worship the Lord. We're to strive to follow his ways, build our lives around his plans, live in a reverent and respectful awe of him and his holiness. And if we do all that, we will hate evil and we're going to run away from it. The path of blessing is the path of obedience. We see in Proverbs 9:6, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We orient, we center our whole life, every aspect to God. And man, that can be really hard to do. It takes humility. But God is calling us to that. And he says the benefit of fearing the Lord and turning from evil is that we're going to find healing and refreshment. You know, living out God's wise principles many times impacts us physically. But it also impacts us spiritually, emotionally, relationally, all kinds. And again, remember, Proverbs, it's telling us, hey, I'm trying to keep you from going down this path. See, if you go down this path, you're going to bring all that stuff on yourself. But if you go the way that I'm directing you to go, you're positioning yourself for, you know, long life and health and well-being. It's worthwhile. God is taking care of us. So, in light of what we know about Proverbs over the last few weeks, and today we're looking at verses 1 through 8 and 3, what's a good next step for us? What's some things maybe we just need to be reminded of today? You know, our next best step, if this is you, be in a relationship with the Lord. This is where it all starts. Knowing him, loving him, following him, trusting him, putting your full weight in his hands because he is trustworthy. He created life. He designed it. He knows what's best for us, and he knows what's best for you, and he loves you. Today, he is saying, be in relationship. Maybe that is your next step. Maybe today, you're looking over your life, and you're going, man, yes, there is an area or two that I've just, I don't know, I'm really struggling to give it up. I'm just going to encourage you today, be humble today. Turn that area of your life over to the Lord today. He is wise. He knows how to lead us. He knows how to help you with that area of your life. I'm going to remind us all today, spend some time with the Lord. Spend some time with the Lord. Talk to Him. Really talk to Him. Spend some time in His Word. Read what He wants you to know. I think to myself, how can we ever follow wise principles or follow His design and go the ways that He wants us to go if we don't know what they are? And there's no judgment here. We all get it. Many of us, you know, hey, maybe it's been a day or two or a week. It's just, I don't know, time can get away. I'm just reminding myself and reminding us, time with the Lord, it's a huge priority. It's going to help us. We turn our heart. We know Him. We love Him. We trust Him. He leads us. But we got to talk to Him. We got to visit with Him. And He's going to tell us about that in His Word today. Don't forget. Don't forget His teachings. Put it at the center of our life. Let His character be evident. His steadfast love and faithfulness. Trust Him with our whole weight. Fear the Lord. Turn from evil. He says He's going to lead us to well-being and to a life worthwhile, to lead us down paths that are morally straight and righteous. And we get to enjoy a godly, humble confidence in life, knowing that God, He's taking care of me. He's got it. You know this proverb, talking about a dad, talking to his son, these kind of things, reminds me of my dad. Maybe it does you, I don't know. This wasn't everybody's situation, but I had a good one. I had a good dad. I had a good mom. You know, my dad, hard worker. We never were anything that even resembled affluent, but we always had what we needed. Dad led our family well. He managed our money well. All those kind of things. But my dad had flaws. He had struggles. He had things that he grappled with like we all do. But I never doubted the fact that God loved the Lord and He loved our family. He demonstrated what it was to have commitment and sacrifice. I appreciate that about my dad. You know, along the way, this maybe is your story. You know, my early 20s weren't my best, making some not awesome decisions. And I think it was about 24, the light kind of came on. And I was like, you know, I think my mom and dad know a little bit more about life than I probably ever gave them credit for. And really appreciated the wisdom and the guidance they were trying to give me along the way. And I kind of got away from that, you know. And the light came on. I'm like, you know, man, those guys knew a whole bunch more than I ever thought. That's what God's trying to tell us today. He knows more about life and how it works than we do. And maybe sometimes we got a little bit off the path, but the light can come on. God knows more about this than us. He loves us. My dad, I knew he loved me. I mean, he wants to lead us well. He wants to guide us well. He wants the best for us. Maybe today is that day the light comes on and it's time to turn your heart to the Lord. Today can be that day. Hey, if you want to go ahead and pray, bow your heads. We're going to pray in just a moment. Our musicians are going to come up. We're going to have a time of response here in just a moment. God is good to us, and He is gracious to us. And surely, you can look back over your life and know that He's been merciful. He's been compassionate and good and kind. And because He's a good dad, He's disciplined us, right, sometimes. We've had to go through some tough water because of the decisions we make. His paths have destinations. Choices have outcomes. But God, because He loves us, you know, He invites us back in. He brings redemption to our life. He makes us a new creation. He restores because He's like that. Today, I just want to ask you, always a good time to evaluate. How's it going? How's the wholeheartedness going? How's the following going? We're not talking about legalisticness here. We're just talking about love. God loves us. God, we ask you today to help us. Father, we know you know best. God, we desire to follow you and let you lead us. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit is working in us, is working through us. And God, we can lean in to the direction that you have with our lives. God, help us to trust you, turn to you, fear the Lord, and turn from evil. And thank you for the solid foundation that you provide us. God, we appreciate it. In Jesus' name, amen.